We will now have a reading from the Holy Scriptures. If you'd like to follow along, you can use the Red Pew Bibles, large print, page 1516, small print, page 690. And this is the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Anoint these words, Father, and make them come alive to our hearts as we open our hearts to hear. In the name of your Son, amen. I appreciate the anthem about grace. It's frankly, that's what it's about. The grace, the gift of God, the power of God that comes to us unmerited, undeserved, that comes to us as a sheer gift of grace. Now, you know, God does accept us just as we are. When you open your heart to God, and even when you don't, when you're not a Christian, God doesn't come down and say, "Now you need to change X, Y, Z, and then I will accept you." No, He accepts us totally and unconditionally and completely, exactly as we are. That's grace. But do you know something? God is not going to leave us where He finds us. He's not going to renew you and transform you and give you this marvelous gift of a rebirth and transformation and all of that, and just walk away and leave you there. That's just the beginning. Just the beginning. I remember one time, and I was listening to the bishop at my ordination preach, Bishop Inslee, and I have fond memories of him. And he was preaching about perfection, and they always ask incoming ministers who are ordained, "Are you going on to perfection?" And this time, and he said, "If you're not, in God's name, where are you going?" Well, we are on the road. We're not going to reach perfection in this life. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we can do a lot of growing in this life. A lot of becoming and finding fruitfulness and blessedness in this faith. God doesn't leave us where we are. And the New Testament is full of stories about you don't have to stay here. You can go from here to there. Now take the story. Another parable that Jesus told was about a mustard seed. And He said, consider this little old tiny mustard seed. There is not a smaller seed than the mustard seed, Jesus said, to illustrate the point. But that little mustard seed, He went on to say, can grow into a giant tree. And that's how it is. God's not satisfied to leave us as a little mustard seed. He wants us to grow into that giant tree. And there's where the deep and profound satisfaction and happiness is, as we're moving on and becoming all that God has put in us and using those talents that He's put in us. So everywhere in the New Testament, our Lord in one way or another is talking about our growing and becoming. And it doesn't make any difference when we talk about growth sometimes. Say, "Well, that's for young people." Old Nicodemus, when he came to the Lord, he was an old man. And the scripture is pretty clear about that. But in that darkened upper room where he sat down and talked with Jesus that night, suddenly he was born anew. And it's a little baby in Christ. Even in his old age, that youthful birth in him that could grow on and still, with the remainder of his life, bear fruit and happiness and blessedness. The most discouraging and depressing times in my life is when I get stuck. And when I'm not growing and not becoming. But those times when I'm growing in this faith, those are the great and happy and beautiful and wonderful times. Or Jesus talks about the leaven. He talks about a woman baking bread and how that this leaven works its way through that bread. It expands. And you get this beautiful loaf of bread. And as we grow, God's trying to create something beautiful. We don't have to stay where we are. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child, thought like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And that implies an enormous quantum leaps of growth to spiritual maturity and fruitfulness. And in the scripture lesson that Phil read for us this morning is another story, a parable of growth. It's about four types of souls. And it's about the Word of God being sown profusely everywhere, and that human hearts refuse to let the Word of God in, and therefore the seed dies. Now, Foster over there is a farmer. And he's a good farmer. He's a man of the soul. And what would you think? He sowed that seed and it would simply die. And so our Lord talks about the profile of that person who is so hard that they won't even let the precious Word of God into their lives, and therefore that seed will die. And He talks about that person who lets it in, but underneath there is a hardness. There's a hardness, and that seed runs into that hardness and cannot sink deep roots, and it dies. Or the seed that falls in stony places, who are so busy and consumed with so many things and demands in life, falls, Jesus said, it's like thistles and thorns. And that seed is choked. And it can't sink roots. And it can't grow and become. But that one soul the Lord talks about, the good soul, is that person who opens himself deeply to the Word of God, to the seed of His presence, and let it go deep in their souls and in their lives. The Lord said they will have a beautiful and multiple harvest. But it's all based on letting it take root so we can grow and become. Now, the responsive reading this morning, which we don't do too often, but it's about this Psalms 1, is really one of the beautiful images of what it means to grow and how to grow. And it starts out, the writers talk about, blessed is the man or the person, and happy is that man or person. And he starts out with kind of saying, let's begin with a happy person. And let's concern ourselves, well, how did he get there and how does he stay there? And he goes on to say, this is what he doesn't do, the writer says. Number one, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're going to take, we can get counsel from the ungodly, and we don't have to reject all of it. If a doctor is an atheist and he knows what he's doing, that can be an ungodly thing. But the doctor is not going to tell us the meaning and the purpose of life, or why we're here in this life, or who God is, if he's ungodly. We don't take our counsel about those things from the ungodly. Because if we do, we become ungodly. It's inevitable. A letter was written to Dear Abby some time ago, and the writer was a man. He said, Dear Abby, he said, I'm married, and I'm having an affair with two women at the same time. Now, there's a pretty busy guy. You can bet on there's a lot of deception going on in his life. And so he said, here, I'm married and having this affair with two women, and will you give me some advice, but don't give me any of that morality stuff. And she wrote back and said, Dear sir, the only difference between an animal and a human being is morality. So I suggest to you that you write a letter to a veterinarian. We can take our counseling with the ungodly, and sometimes they infer one way or the other that you're just a kind of a complex animal of some kind. That's ungodly counsel. And then he said the second thing that you don't do if you're going to reach that place of blessedness and happiness and prosperity spiritually and the harvesting and the fruitfulness, the second thing, you don't run with the sinners. I mean, you don't go to the same places that they go. If you're taking advice from the ungodly, the chances are you're going to begin to go exactly where the ungodly go. If you're going to have blessedness and happiness and fulfillment, you don't go to the same places or do the same thing or even laugh at the same jokes. You don't do it. You don't take your cues about your values and what life is about from the ungodly, and you do not indulge yourself in the same lifestyles of the ungodly. So here's another letter I just read this week written to Dear Abby. And the reason I read Dear Abby is because she deals with real human problems. I don't always agree with what she says, but a lot of it I certainly do agree with. It really hits home. So here's another letter. It's from a woman. She says, I'm a conservative woman. And she said, I have a company of friends, and I enjoy their company. They'd probably help me if I needed help. But she says, you know something? These people, they make fun of me. They mock my faith. They make fun of the Christian jewelry I wear. They make fun of the clothes that I wear. They say I'm old-fashioned. And she said, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking about not accepting their next invitation to go out with them. They always want to spend the night, and I don't want to go out and do that. So what should I do? And Dear Abby wrote back, and she said, it is time for you to develop some friends and company outside of that group that is mocking you and laughing at you. You make some friends and you get away from that, because the first thing you know, people are going to begin to think that you're like that group that you're with. But the greatest danger is that you'll find yourself becoming like that group, and you'll be frozen and stuck going to all those places and all those habits that the sinner goes to. And then he said the next thing that a blessed man, a happy man doesn't do, he doesn't sit down with the scoffers and the mockers. It implies here that, you know, we all get discouraged sometimes, don't we? Do you have those spells sometimes where you're a skeptic and you become a little cynical about things? It's basically in the dark valleys and you wonder why this is happening and is the world going crazy? And you can really develop skepticism. But we don't stay there. We don't sit down there. We don't abide there. Because if we do, we'll become a scoffer and a mocker and a pessimist. And life will go down the tubes. It's impossible to be happy when you're scoffing and mocking. You can't find anything good about anyone, any place, at any time. You only find something to ridicule and to mock and to scoff and to laugh at. And brother, you'll never reach that place of happiness and blessedness and fruitfulness. But here is what this writer said, that this man who was blessed and prospering, here's what he did do. He delighted himself in the Word of God, in the law of God. And that doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments. That means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and certainly a large part of the Psalms. He delighted himself in the Word of God. And in our case, we delight ourselves in the living Word of God, including the New Testament. We delight ourselves in the Word of God. And here's what's happened. Here's what happens. If you take time, as it says here, to meditate and to think about and to reflect upon the Word of God, you not only learn something intellectually, the Word of God will actually mediate you. The presence of the living God comes with those holy words, providing you reflect and think and ponder about them. You don't just get the words, But the Holy Spirit will also bring into your life, as you honor and respect those words and spend time among them and delight yourself in them, the living presence of God comes with that. And then the writer goes on to say, and he gives us this picture now. He says, this person is like a tree. It's like a beautiful tree that season after season after season, it continues to bear fruit. Fruit just hanging from the tree. The leaves don't wither. They don't fade. This tree doesn't die. This person is like that kind of tree, prosperous and growing and becoming. What a beautiful metaphor for those who delight themselves in God, that in the process of time, you'll be like that tree that has fruitfulness in and out of season. And the reason, he says, is that that tree plants itself by streams of living water. It sinks its roots in the Word of God and finally sinks its roots deep and deep into the reality of God until that blessed wellspring of water, the living water of Christ, begins to bubble up in our spirits, and we reach those places of not only of accomplishing things and becoming who God created us to become, but those moments of profound sense of goodness and well-being and happiness and blessedness. But here is another picture. Those who take counsel from the ungodly, those who run with those who are running away from God, and those who become mockers, the writer says they are like chaff. In that day, they bring in the wheat from the field and lay it on a threshing floor, and they would beat that wheat until the seed would fall out. And then they would take a scoop, a fork, and they would throw the seed up in the air, and the chaff that surrounded the grain, the wind would come and blow the chaff away. Just, it would perish, going to the four winds of the earth. A person, the writer is saying here, is someone who has no roots. They will not stand in the day of judgment, the writer says. They will perish. They are like chaff. But those who sink their lives and their roots into the reality of Christ, they'll be like that tree, rooted and grounded. And they will not be blown away. They will stand in the day of judgment. There's a story told about a famous bank robber whose name was Willie Sutton. In the 20s, early 30s, he would rob banks. And Willie was pretty good at robbing banks, but every now and then the law would pick him up and put him in jail. And he was in and out of jail about five or six times, but he'd go back and robbing banks every time. And someone said in exasperation in a court one day, Willie, why do you rob banks? He said, well, that's where the money is. Well, why do we seek our roots in the Word of God and in the reality of God? Because that's where the happiness is. That is where the fruitfulness is. That's why we do it. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the inspired Holy Scriptures, that your Holy Spirit can anoint those words to our hearts and our lives. And if we'll meditate and think and ponder and begin to apply that to our lives, we will find ourselves sinking the roots of that deep into your reality, Father. Help us to do that, that we may become that tree that bears fruit all of this life and in the life to come. Amen and amen.